That's the way the cookie crumbles, she said. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Chug-a-lug-a, hidey-ho, hey-hey.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Cookies. That's what we're talking about today. Holidays are all about tradition. One of the sweetest is the holiday cookie tradition. And one of my favorite traditions here at Ohio at All Sides is the annual holiday cookie show. Everybody has a favorite. What's yours? Maybe it's the flavor of the cookie. Maybe it's the story behind the cookie. Give us a call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page and post your question or your comment. Questions for our experts. Joining us now is the owner of My Old World Bakery. It's in the southwest hilltop area of Columbus, Terry Moore. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us is editorial library director and longtime baker and cookie recipe tester at the Columbus Dispatch, Julie Fulton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann. Hi. Now,
Julie, you don't have a cooking editor anymore at the Dispatch.
No, we don't.
Most newspapers don't anymore. It's not unusual. But you, I don't want to use the word got stuck, but you took on the yoke of the annual holiday cookie section in the Columbus Dispatch. It came out, I think, last week.
Yeah, it came out the Friday.
Before
Thanksgiving? A week ago Friday.
Okay.
I worked on it. I don't want to take anything away from Becky Cover, who's our special sections
editor.
She lays it out and gets it all organized.
Right, and copy edits and the whole
caboodle.
Yeah, Becky
and
Cover.
And does a lot of the selection.
Shout out. We called her first, you know,
right,
so yeah.
Right. But yes, I ended up testing a bunch of the cookies, a bunch just for the section, and then some more to do some prep for a presentation that will be given with the cookies later. So I've done it before. I've tested for a long time for the section, and I was the one. So all good.
Well, what's different? I mean, what anything really different among the recipes this year?
I don't think so. I think year over year, people have things that they just love, and you know, so we've got cutout cookies. We've got a couple of great ones, a gluten-free one for the mm-hmm. folks who are have those sensitivities and issues.
A vegan
one, which is great. The drop cookies that are great for working with the kids. There are some bar cookies that are great to take along because it's just already in a pan and you can just take them in the pan. I think that some of the folks rolled out, you know, higher more complex preparations like roll date-filled cookies, mm-hmm. which are an old-fashioned and personal favorite of mine. So I think that people just love to show the cookies that mean something to them. And so I think that they bring out the oldies but goodies for this section.
Right. You're listening to our annual holiday cookie show today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You just heard from Julie Fulton. She's editorial library director and a longtime baker and cookie recipe tester at the Columbus Dispatch for the annual Dispatch Holiday Cookie section. She kind of managed the testing process this year. A lot of Dispatch employees pitch in and help. And, of course, Becky Covert lays it out. Also with us, Terry Moore. She's owner of My Old World Bakery in the Hilltop area of Columbus. Please share your favorite cookie stories, holiday cookie stories. We can't do recipes over the air, but if you want to send them the recipes to us, you can post them at the All Sides Facebook page. That's a really great way to do that. You can email them to us at allsides@wosu.org, and we'll post them for you. Or you can call us and just talk about it a little bit, 614-292-8513. I say that because last year we had a lady call who ended up doing the recipe on the air in detail, and I hated to stop her because she was so enthusiastic. I mean, people really get into these. Terry Moore, when did you start doing these classic Christmas cookie, kind of holiday cookie selections that you offer at My Old World Bakery?
Well, I worked at the French Loaf for 20 years before I bought the bakery, and we always did them there. So I just brought it with me, and there were already some traditional ones they did there, and I just picked up and added some more. And
how many do you do?
34 kinds.
34 kinds. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
How do you decide which to do? Do you do the same 34 every year? How does it work?
Well, a lot of them are the ones I like to eat. So we just start with that.
Good idea. And then in case you're snowed in sometime, yeah.
And then we do all the traditional ones like anise drops and the date pinwheels and springerlees. We do springerlees all year because people want them all year.
Okay.
They don't want to wait for those.
What are the most popular? Well, springerlees. Okay.
Springerlees, cutouts, and vanilla sticks and kolache.
Huh.
I would say.
You have the perfect sugar cookie recipe in the Dispatch. How do you decide what's the perfect recipe? I'm looking here right now. I don't know if it's my recipe or not.
I don't know.
It be the perfect one?
I have to laugh because...
You didn't do that one.
I didn't do that one. And it's also not my style of roll cookie recipe.
Okay.
That's the one I grew up with is one where you rub the fat into the flour and then add the sugar. And so that's the texture I prefer.
How does that change the texture?
It is less airy and cakey, or less airy and kind of sugary. And you use less sugar, so they're a little less sweet. But it's not flaky, but it's also not that kind of honeycomb structure that you get in a
with those big fat ones
in a creamed butter and sugar cookie.
See, mine are creamed butter and sugar, but they're flatter. They're not. I've seen the kind of really big puffy kind.
They have baking powder in them.
Okay. So they make them cakier.
Right. Baking powder will make it. If you want it crisper, just use baking soda and don't cream it so much.
Okay.
If you don't cream it really fluffy, you'll have a crisper, less cookie-ish cookie.
But it seems like it would be more inconsistent if you don't cream it enough.
As long as it's creamed together, you don't have to beat it fluffy.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Because that changes the texture, too. If you cream it really fluffy, it'll be... I don't think it makes such as a good cookie, but...
Okay.
It's just not the texture I like.
Well, I wanted to also talk about the icing, because you have royal icing in here, and royal icing hardens too much for me.
Yes.
But buttercream frosting doesn't work either. Terry Moore, any suggestions on that score?
You can add some glycerin to it.
Glycerin, which would be like corn syrup or something?
No, glycerin. You get it. It's the same stuff you add to bubbles to make them last longer. You get it at the drugstore.
Really?
It's just glycerin. You can add a little bit to your icing and it'll keep it soft.
But sturdy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's sturdy.
See, this is why it's always good to have a professional baker on the show. Because the home bakers think, I don't know about this. So.
Interesting.
You can use glycerin for a lot of things like that to keep it soft. Like fondant, if you want it to keep stretchy, it'll...
Yeah.
Add a little glycerin.
And you can just get glycerin?
Wilton's makes it.
Okay.
And you can also get it at a lot of drugstores, because if you put it in your soap bubbles, you'll get real sturdy soap bubbles.
Okay. And it's edible.
Yeah.
What do you know? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org with your favorite stories about holiday cookies, Christmas cookies, Hanukkah cookies, whatever it might be. Pat in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Hi, Pat.
Yes, I wanted to share my Aunt Bessie, who, well, I'm 87, so she died many, many years ago. But she passed on. I have made assortments of cookies, and we have a tradition at our church called the Cookie Walk. We all make about two or three dozen cookies, and then you go through, you put a little plastic glove on, and you go through and you pick up. So at the end of the day, you have an assortment of cookies that you haven't made yourself, but they're homemade cookies, which I think is a wonderful tradition. But this is a recipe that I think is very unusual in that you aren't creaming butter and sugar. You aren't rolling anything out.
Mm-hmm.
You just... I know you don't want, I heard you.
Well, I know you can give us the basic. They're called lace cookies.
They're called lace cookies. And what they are is you take a cup of chopped nuts and a cup of flour, and then you on the stove, you actually cook Cairo syrup, brown sugar, a stick of margarine, and you bring it to a boil, and then you merely stir in the nuts and the flour.
Okay.
And then you drop them off on a foil-covered cookie sheet.
Uh-huh.
By the spoonfuls, and they spread out, and they cook, and they get... And then you literally take them out and peel them off. They harden. And I think they're an unusual cookie. I've never run into anything like that.
I think I've actually had something like that before. They are unusual. They taste really, really good.
Mm-hmm. They're very crispy.
Yeah, they're real crispy and kind of brittly-like.
Yes, they are.
A little peanut brittly-like, mm-hmm. but it's got that flour in there.
Right.
Gives it a little more texture. Pat, thanks for that call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
I love cookie walks.
Yeah, cookie walks, like cookie exchanges. But walks, you're just walking through and you're grabbing one of each. And yeah, but it gives you an array. And there is something about that array of cookies that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I'm always up for trying new cookies. I love the acorn cookie in that. That is adorable.
It is adorable. I got to see them when they did the photos and they're great.
Tell me about that. Which one is that?
They look like little acorns. They're just...
It's on page 3, and it's in the lower right-hand corner, and they look like acorns, exactly.
They do. They're really cute.
What are they made of? I mean, is it usual? Oh, yeah, there they are. Gotcha.
It's
acorns.
It's a sugar cookie, a brown sugar with nuts.
And a little chocolate.
But they're just really charming looking.
They are. They're very cute. They look like acorns. 614-292-8513. Damien, you're on the air. Hi, Damien.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, I have a terrible phone from work. So my mom, she makes these year-round, but a lot of times around the holidays, and they're meringue cookies. And I don't know the recipe, so I couldn't give it to you even if
you wanted to.
I knew it, yeah. But she bakes them on brown paper bags in the oven. So... She takes the brown paper bags and cuts them open. This is something my grandmother did, and then, of course, passed it on to her. And that's how she does it. I don't know what the temperature of the oven would be or anything. It doesn't burn the bag.
Does she still do these?
Yeah, she does them every year.
Well, you ought to get the recipe before, you know.
Yeah, wait, come on now. She's got a lot of years left. But so she makes two different versions. One will have pecans and one won't. Some people don't like pecans. But they're... It's like a pretty remarkable and resilient cookie because I remember getting into the Christmas decorations and getting everything out to decorate the house for 1 year, and I had a can from the previous year. And I'm not too much afraid of some food that's been sitting around.
Yeah.
So I tried them out. It was just like they were made that previous day. I mean, they kept their freshness. They're kind of you've probably had them before. You know, some people have had them. So they have like a hard coating, but they're not hard cookies. They're real airy and have like a crispness to them.
Kind of chewy.
You know, yeah, look, they can be chewy and more so like if they are kept in a more moist, you know, environment. But in the can, I mean, they were crispy and everything, and I ate the whole can.
Oh, my God. And you've lived to tell about it, so.
I'm alive now.
Okay. Damien, thanks a lot. Get that recipe, though. Don't take any chances.
I will.
Okay. All right. Take care. Thank you. Email from Kim says, just a cautionary note for all vegetarians that glycerin is an animal product. So, duly noted. Thank you, Kim, for that. We will continue our conversation where it's our annual holiday cookie show. So give us a call. Share your holiday cookie stories with us. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or call us at 614-292-8513. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Made out of sugar and butter and flour. You put them in the oven about a quarter hour. But the thing that gives them their magic power is the chocolate chips inside. Chocolate chip cookies, I gotta have more. You can bake them in the oven or buy them at the store, but whatever you do.
Welcome back to All Sides. It's our annual holiday cookie show today, and I have to say that I don't think of chocolate chip cookies as a Christmas cookie or a holiday cookie, but other people disagree. Maybe that's the only cookie they bake all year. My guest, Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery in the Hilltop area of Columbus, is with us. Terry, thanks again for joining us.
This is fun.
And Julie Fulton, she's the editorial library director and longtime baker and cookie recipe tester at the Columbus Dispatch. The Columbus Dispatch doesn't have a food editor anymore, but I was glad to see that they once again produced their annual holiday cookie section. And it's, what, the seventh or eighth year now?
I looked at this. It is, we started in 2009, so it's the ninth year, I think.
Okay. Well, no, it'd be the eighth year if it's nine. But
right. Yes, eighth year.
Okay. So if you want to share your favorite holiday cookie idea, we can't do recipes over the air because it takes too much time, even though we would actually love to listen to your recipes. But give us a call with your ideas or if you have a great story, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org or you can check out the Facebook page and post your question, your comment there. Let's see. Cynthia in Columbus. Hi, Cynthia. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to tell you, instead of having like a cookie exchange from people who actually bake, when my husband and I were first married, we both had homes. So we ended up with one house with three ovens. And so every year at Christmas, we would invite over a bunch of friends. They were each told to bring some ingredients, like somebody's invitation would say, bring 3 pounds of butter, and somebody else's information might say, bring 2 pounds of chocolate chips or 2 pounds of fresh cranberries. Anyway, and then when they'd arrive, the people would all be split up and put into little groups with the appropriate ingredients on their table and the recipe printed really big and assigned an oven. And they would all
have fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, yeah. Cynthia, was there wine involved?
Yes. So they would all show up and be taught how to, well, have to figure out, actually. I didn't have time to teach them. They all have to figure out how to make this cookie with a few people they just met. And at the end of the night, everybody went home, and it was wonderful. One year we all made baklava, except that you have to then send it to them later because it takes a couple days to settle.
Right. What fun. Do you still do this?
We did it for quite a while, but we don't do it anymore.
That's very different. I do know people who have cooking.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, well, who has three ovens? Thank you so much for that, Cynthia. Wow.
I could live with three ovens.
I could live with three ovens, but who's got the room? I mean, it sounds like she had a big kitchen, too, or something. I don't have the space.
No.
But there is an issue with cookie parties, people showing up with store-bought or chocolate-dipped pretzels. Just saying. Robin has a question. Robin in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I have a cookie question, but I thought I'd tell you a little cookie story. When I was first married, I was invited to a neighborhood cookie exchange. And so we were told exactly how many cookies to bring. And then, she served coffee and she had refreshments. And we all took home cookies, a little bit of each other's cookies. Mm-hmm. But what we didn't know was when we got home, the host's cookies that she gave all of us were Fig Newtons cut up into little squares and shaken into sugar, shaken with confectioner sugar.
See,
so
that's just wrong.
She did not want to bake cookies.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
It was wrong, but it was funny.
That's all wrong.
Funny story. Okay.
Okay.
So now I have a cookie question. I am Danish, and I grew up with beautiful butter Danish cookies, and I still only like pretty, delicate cookies. And one of the Christmas cookies we made was called Finspor, which basically translates into Finnish bread. And it's a shortbread recipe that you stir up, and then you roll the dough into logs. You cut them into pieces on a diagonal. Then you thumbprint down the center. And you then dip it in egg white and then dip it in almonds and sugar.
Yum.
And it's supposed to have a little trough in the middle with the nuts and sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I remember these cookies baking up and the trough would stay put And ever since I've been baking them for like, you know, 25, 30 years, they flatten out. Now, they still taste good, but they flatten. And so I have changed up my method. I have creamed it less, just creamed it enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have refrigerated the dough before I cut it. I have increased the flour to butter ratio, but they still flatten. So I wonder, do your guests, your professional guests, have any hints as to how I can get them to retain their shape?
We're back to chemistry class. Terry Moore?
Do you have any leavening in it?
No, I don't believe so. I think it's just butter, sugar, flour. I'm afraid I don't have the recipe with me at work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's like baking powder, you can always put a little bit less in, and that will make it come up less and stay more where you put it.
It won't change as much in the oven.
It won't change in the oven. It'll just stay where you put it. And creaming the sugar and butter is the best way to do it, a little bit less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's doing that. So check on the leavening ingredients, Robin.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, and you know what, Robin? I really am interested in this recipe.
This sounds good, right?
Because if you could post it on Facebook later, that would be awesome.
Sure.
Okay, great.
I will do that. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I'll go back to the bakery and try it, and then I can see what...
Exactly. You can experiment. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you get a lot, Julie Fulton, recipes, or what do you do when a recipe isn't working properly? Do you call the person back, or do you just, you know, deep six it?
No, that's a great question. Because I did a recipe where, and it's one of our featured recipes, where it didn't make any sense to me. The first person who tested it didn't turn out quite the way we thought it should.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Tweels recipe. And I had seen, and she calls for whole eggs, and I had only ever seen it done with egg whites. And so I said, Becky, I need to call Barbara and ask her what's going on. And so I did. I called her and I talked to her, and she assured me that it worked as written. And so given that I knew it worked for her, I was determined it would work for me also. So
uh-huh. I
kept at it, and I was very careful, and I was very careful and followed her recipe rather than sometimes when I get used to baking, I mm-hmm. see a recipe and I do it, but I do all my own shortcuts or I do it the way I done it, and I did it her way, and they turned out just right.
Interesting. It's interesting that way. Are there things, Terry Moore, that you don't even realize you're doing sometimes that are when you're tweaking things?
I'm sure there are, but
you don't even know what they are.
There's a lot of fudging space in there. Once you've made it so many times, there's a lot of things that it's actually really flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think it is, but there's a lot of leeway.
Did I already ask you what your favorite one is? What your favorite cookie is? I think I asked what the next one.
The next one I'm going to eat.
Oh. Good attitude. I like that. That is the way to be. Sharon in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning, and good morning, Terry. This is Sharon, who you grew up with.
Oh, hi, Sharon.
And before I get to my stuff, I'm wondering if that Danish cookie might have been baked in a curved pan.
Why would that? What do you mean curved? Like it was warped or something? Or
no, if it's supposed to be baked in a curved pan to hold the shape.
That's a possibility.
There are some things that you bake in a curved pan so that it will hold kind of a trough shape.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to grasp what you mean by a curved pan, like a...
Well, you've seen like the corn-shaped pans or the French bread roll pans where you bake it in the...
Oh, all right, okay.
That's just a thought.
Yeah.
I go to St. John Chrysostom Church. It's the church with the big gold dome on Cleveland Avenue
between
161 and 270. Now, through the year, we have First Friday sales of Eastern European soul food, but we're getting ready for our big cookie sale. And
good to know.
The motto for that is like 40 dozen is for wimps.
Wow.
Yeah, I just knocked out 23 dozen more because I had too many ingredients that I didn't want to take home. So the first cookie that I usually make is my gingerbread orange cookie.
Wow.
And I won't give the recipe, but basically it's a recipe of Betty Crocker recipe gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
And if it calls for 2 teaspoons of ginger, I might put in 2 tablespoons and my hand might shake a little bit.
Mm.
and a layer of orange refrigerator cookie. And it really doesn't matter what recipe you use as long as they bake at the same temperature. Put the one on top of the other, roll it up into logs, throw it in the fridge for until you're ready to deal with it, or the freezer if you're not ready to deal with it for a while. Slice them and bake them.
So it's a swirl?
They're wonderful. Yeah, so it swirls, a light and a dark, a very light flavor with that robust gingerbread.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds
so good.
So would you put that recipe on the Facebook page?
Please?
Please?
I don't do Facebook.
Oh, rats. Okay. You can just email it to me. Yeah, you can email it to allsides@wosu.org if you have a chance, and we'll put it on the Facebook page. That would be so cool.
I will do my best. I'll have to derive it from my ingredient spreadsheet.
Yeah.
the cookie sale is December 9th, and we have a lot of folks that don't like to bake all those cookies but want them.
Yeah.
So that's why we do trays.
Oh, yeah. That sounds wonderful.
I like that sound of cookie.
Yeah.
Sharon, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks.
Yeah. Take care. You know, every year it's different. This year's different than last year. I love it. I'm going in the order by which we receive the calls. I'm going to Rhonda now. Rhonda and Powell, you're on the air. Hi, Rhonda.
Hello. Well, first I want to say I've been to that church cookie sale. My friend does 100 dozen for that every year, and it's fabulous. I wanted to say that.
Just say it, right? Okay.
And also addressing the lady with the keeping the shape.
Yeah.
A lot of people have the problem even with their sugar cookies. They buy all these fabulous cutters, and then they end up baking out into a big blob and don't look like the shape.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to keep shape on a cookie is to chill your cookie tray. And keep your dough chilled. That way, when it goes in the oven, it's still cold. It holds its shape until it bakes.
Yeah, I do that. Once the dough gets too worked, I just put it back in the fridge and take out another blob.
Yeah. So yeah. I wonder if that would help her with that trowel problem she was having.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I want to say my favorite cookie that I'm lucky that my husband makes every year is a spritz cookie. It's a butter cookie that you put in a machine that put the cookie out in different shapes on your cookie sheet. And we do it in different colors. Like I do a green Christmas tree and a blue bell and white snowflakes and red Santas. And they're just a small size. Are you familiar with spritz cookies?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah,
spritz,
absolutely.
Yes. We're just silent with desire.
I love them because they look like, when you say that variety, they look like different cookies.
Yes.
Because they're different shapes and colors. But they look great. They add a punch of color to the thing.
Rhonda,
they're a small enough size.
Well, before I let you go, though, I've made spritz cookies before. It's not one of my more successful cookies. They come out, to me, they seem tough. And I don't know, Terry Moore, can you, they just seem too hard. Am I doing something wrong?
May be baked too long.
Okay.
Because pretty much everybody's oven has the wrong temperature.
Okay.
I mean, if you check your oven with
a real thermometer.
A real thermometer. Yeah. It's probably going to be off by 25 degrees.
Oh, really?
Yes. Every oven is pretty much wrong.
Okay.
So if you're everything you
so
put
it
in,
doesn't matter what Rhonda tells me. It could my yeah.
That first thing, if you ever have problems with your cookies, is check the oven with a real thermometer that's been calibrated, so you know how hot it actually is.
Okay. What about any suggestions, Julie Fulton?
When I do spritz or press cookies, I just try and handle them as little as possible.
Yeah, that's because, what I was thinking, maybe I overdid it.
Yeah.
I use cake flour, too.
Oh,
instead of
okay. That would make much more tender cookies. That
I use cake flour in all my cookies.
All right. Oh, okay. Good.
I also wanted to say, for people who are looking for cookie cutters, there's a great store in Powell called Smidge and Pinch. And they have over 600 different shapes of cookie cutters.
Where's this store?
If I get one more cookie cutter, someone's going to kill me. But what? It's in Powell?
Where's this store? I can't have too many
Powell
cookie cutters.
It's in Powell. It's called Smidge and Pinch.
Smidge and Pinch.
And it's right on Powell Road.
Smidge and Pinch.
Right on Powell Road. The corner.
Yes, I am rubbing my hands in anticipation.
Okay. All right, Rhonda. Well, I think we'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Email from Angel. She says, I was inspired by your annual cookie show and made tons of cookies last year. Yay! My family acted like I lost my senses. Guess it's back to the cake this year. They literally asked me, who eats cookies for holidays? Ha ha. Angel, don't go back. No, don't change it. It's your new tradition. They'll start looking forward to it. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy, talk.
That is just, that's.
Email from Michael says, I love matrimonial bars. The name has nothing to do with weddings, but the marriage of dough with fruit preserves. As a bar cookie, they're a breeze to make. Flour, butter, brown sugar, old-fashioned oatmeal, not quick cooking. Mix well, spread 2/3 of the mixture on a 13-by-9-inch pan, I guess a jelly roll pan. Put in 3 cups of apricot preserves, top with remaining mixture, bake, cool, and eat. They are heaven. My mom made them every Christmas, and now I do.
Well, they sound delicious. Yeah. I haven't seen that recipe before, but it sounds like it would work pretty well.
Yeah. I did something similar, but that's not what they were called. But I like the name.
Matrimonial bars. I know. I like that, too. Michael, if you're on Facebook, can you post that on our Facebook page and give us the amounts, you know, a little bit more detail there? Really quick, let's go to Liana in Sunbury. Hi, Liana.
Hi, good morning. I have a question about when I make buttercream icing. We don't like royal icing for our cutouts.
Yeah.
But want to know, how do I keep that food coloring when we go to decorate from like leaking out? You know, after about 4 or 5 days, the red food coloring will start seeping over into the white food color.
Wow.
The white icing, and they just don't look as pretty. So is there any way to keep that color in those icings?
Are you using the real watery food coloring from the grocery store?
No, I have like the paste kind, and it's still within a couple days. It seems like those darker colors will leach out onto like the white icing base that I have on the cookies.
I don't think I don't have a problem with it because I don't get it that dark. I don't go that bright with the coloring, but maybe chilling it beforehand or?
Oh, if you store them in the refrigerator, that's
yeah. Do you store them in the refrigerator, Liana?
I don't.
I store mine in the freezer, actually.
I would keep them in the freezer in the fridge.
Keep them in the freezer until they are to be consumed.
Okay.
That's a safer idea with buttercream anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I prefer buttercream, the flavor, but I'm going to change. I'm going to try something new this year. But, Liana, thanks for that call.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Yep. Yep. We are going to continue our conversation. We have some calls to get to. We'll get to every single one of them, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to our annual holiday cookie show on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I gotta have more. You can bake them in the oven or buy them at the store. But whatever you do, have them ready at the door. And I'll love you till I die.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way our love is crumbled too.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. It's our annual holiday cookie show today. So give us a call. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can call us at 614-292-8513. We love to hear your stories. Save the recipes for Facebook, but we love to hear about your ideas. 614-292-8513. We have an email from, my guest, Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery in the Hilltop area of Columbus, and also Julie Fulton. She's the woman largely behind the latest dispatch holiday cookie section. They will have a demonstration at Whole Foods Market on December 3rd. So if you want to check that out, you can go to the link on our website at WOSU.org. We have an email from Barry. It says, please talk about my favorite Christmas cookie, snowballs/Russian tea cakes, tea cookies. I love them. Are they hard to make?
No.
No. No, but they are one that you don't want to overwork the dough. I think it come out much more tender and, you know, but no, Barry.
No. Make those cookies, Barry. Come on.
Yeah, that page in my Betty Crocker cookbook is literally like just, I want to say like paper, but that's stupid. It's so thin you can almost see through it. It's translucent from all the fat.
Butterfinger touching.
That's right.
It's like a must-do for me, Barry. And you just keep rolling it in the powdered sugar. That's, to me, the secret is as soon as it's warm, take it out, right? Roll it in the powdered sugar. Roll it again in the powdered sugar. If you want to add a little more festivity to it, you could sprinkle some red or green or both sugars into it. It makes them a little kind of Christmassy looking that way. But otherwise, they're perfect just the way they are. Okay, got to turn to Jennifer in Columbus now. Okay, Jennifer, brag away.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes. So my mom used to bake, a couple thousand cookies when I was younger. We would start in August and she would give them as gifts. And when I got married and had my own kid, I started the same thing, but I've gone bigger. So I just finished for 4 weeks baking 3,060 cookies, 16 different kinds. And I did all by myself.
Beautiful.
Impressive. Wow. What kinds?
Yes. All different kinds. I do the Russian tea cakes, and they are everybody's favorite. I do Viennese rounds, which is a butter cookie with jam in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I do triple chocolate chunk that's got three different types of Ghirardelli chocolate all mixed together. I do German chocolate, snickerdoodles. I just baked a new one my mother-in-law baked, which is a pumpkin cake cookie, lemon frosted ginger, two different types of thumbprints. And I found the convection part of my oven last year, and that has made cooking time in half. I had no idea I had it on my oven.
How do I get on your gift list?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, and I was in there with you last year talking about Zumba with Kristen, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, right. So we know each other. We're friends.
We do, and I'm friends with Susan. I could make sure I give her a tin and she can pass them off to you.
Just share your favorite recipe though on Facebook. That would be awesome.
I will share them. But yes, it feels good to bake and give something as a gift, and people look forward to them every year. So yep. But thanks.
Right.
This is a great topic to talk about.
Thank you. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's what I do. I give them away as gifts to a lot of people do. You sell them, Terry Moore. I mean, you must have regulars who come back every year because your array is amazing.
It's a lot of cookies.
34 different kinds. When do you start making them?
The week of Thanksgiving.
And then you just freeze them?
No, they don't last that long.
Okay.
the Lebkuchen I make because they're traditionally aged and they start out really hard. And they get soft. And I just learned this year that gingerbread is the same way. You're supposed to make it, and they let it age for about a year, and it turns into a soft cookie.
I didn't know. What do you age it? In the freezer?
No, you just put it in a cookie box. Well, we have these big cookie cabinets in the city in Germany where they originated, they have people that test them to make sure they're ready to sell.
It's like cheese or wine.
Yes, but I tried this. I started... And I saved some from last year, and about August, they got turned into a soft gingerbread.
Wow.
That was my secret stash. I kind of nibbled them all year. And
The three that were left were soft. Okay.
Yes.
Nick, Nick in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Nick.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have a question. That lady with the 4,000 cookies.
Yeah. Three, but who's going?
I want to be her friend.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
She also has entirely too much time on her hands.
No,
she needs to give a lot to the homeless and people who are starving. But anyway, my question has to do with I have a grandson who's allergic to eggs, and I've gone to the bakeries, that supposedly are eggless and all this stuff. The few that are. And on a personal level, they're not great. And he's discerning enough to know that they're not quite as tasty as probably the ones with eggs.
Oh, so, you have options.
Well, Terry Moore tell us about options. Okay, eggless options.
Gingerbread is completely egg and dairy free. The regular recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Shortbread has no eggs in it. It's just butter, sugar, and flour. And you can make it with brown sugar, so you have a little variety of flavor. Those are both really good ones. that you can shape the shortbread and cut it into different shapes, and you can ice it.
Yeah, I'm looking at. I mean, there are a lot of recipes with eggs, but Julie Fulton, was that an issue for you?
No,
in putting this section together.
No, I think that one of the ways we covered that, we have obviously that there are, like Terry said, there are wide variety of cookies that don't use eggs at all. But for instance, if he wanted a cutout cookie, there's the vegan cutout cookies recipe that's in the section. Mm-hmm. So it's always an option to look at vegan recipes, vegan cookie recipes. And the internet is awash with recipes, although sometimes those work and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. So go reputable.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that we didn't try and focus on trying to do a variety of egg or eggless.
Mm-hmm.
But it just works
out
that way.
But there are some that are eggless.
But there are plenty that
are
eggless. Kolache, oh, sure.
Kolache is another one that's eggless.
Okay.
It's a cream cheese dough. It's just cream cheese, powdered sugar, mm-hmm. flour. And then they have fruit filling in them, so they're extra tasty.
Nick, let me ask you a question before I let you go. Is he so allergic that he can't even take a cookie from a place that uses eggs in other recipes?
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
That's part of the problem.
Well, then you have to learn how to bake, Nick.
Yes, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm the tester.
Okay. You need to enlist somebody else.
But my wife's the baker.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for
the
call.
She probably already knows this, but I will. I appreciate it. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you. I'm going in the order in which we've received them. Ed in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Love the show. Love the recipes in the dispatch every year.
Yes.
My wife's also another one of those monster bakers. And the recipe that she came up with, just because, oh, darn, I don't have this, but how does this sound? And I'm a tester, too, was a dark chocolate coconut walnut cookie.
Mm.
And I don't know the recipe right off the top, but she does that. She decided not to make oatmeal raisin anymore after 1 year we didn't have any. She put craisins in instead. And those were very good. But she bakes, let's see, yesterday she baked up 10 different kinds and 4 dozen each going to our church. And she's done that for 2 charities and also family and friends. And it's a process.
Yeah.
Laying out 3 tables, but she doesn't do it all in one day. She'll make the dough and refrigerate it. Then she'll roll it up into balls, and those all go in the freezer for whichever group it needs to be made for next. And then she gets them out, and one day she bakes everything for that particular group.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Wow. God,
she's very organized.
Yes.
I'm not that organized.
No, I mean, I get things pretty – it's a process for me. I make all my doughs. I label them. I roll them out. But, Ed, lucky you.
Yeah. Yes, well, I'm the mule. It's like, take these downstairs, bring those up. I need more stuff at the store.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But you get paid
I know
cookies.
Somebody in my household who has the same issues. Thanks a lot, Ed. The mule. That's great. Email from Jane. She said, my husband wants to know why the sprinkles don't stick to the rum balls. What can he do? She said run, but we think she means rum.
They will stick if you let them get a little warm so they're not... Because if they're cold, nothing will stick.
All right, so you got to do it right when
they're
warm.
If it's like room temperature, it'll stick.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, get your hands wet each little ball, and then put it in a big tray of sprinkles and shake it around so you're not touching it with your wet hands, and they'll stick.
Okay. All right.
Not really wet, because otherwise they'll dissolve. But.
Right. Just a damp.
Damp.
A little damp. Okay, Doug in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Doug.
Hi. Hey, a couple of years ago, I called and talked about making little adjustments to recipes to kind of personalize them,
mm-hmm.
like putting mint extract in your chocolate chip cookie dough.
I remember you.
Hello.
Hi.
I was going to suggest another one. If you use colored granulated sugar in cookies that need to be rolled in sugar before you bake them, like snickerdoodles or ginger snaps, it really turns out something nice.
Oh.
Sure.
Cool. And there's so many different colors of sugar now.
Yes, and I still would recommend using some white sugar in addition to the color, because that makes the color stand out.
Oh.
Especially with a dark cookie like the ginger snap.
Okay.
Sounds pretty.
Yeah, it sounds really pretty. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye. 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Check out our Facebook page because people are going to be leaving recipes there, I hope, fingers crossed. And if you have a recipe you want to leave there, please do. It'll be well received. I will be very, very happy for that. I make, and I've been doing this ever since I found the recipe. Trying to think. I think I saw it in a magazine, and I still have the clipping from the magazine. And it's raisin oatmeal, but the raisins are soaked in triple sec or Grand Marnier or whatever kind of orange liqueur, or you could do it in an orange juice. And I usually let them soak until they're just like going to
burst.
And then you also do an orange zest with the oatmeal batter. And then you dip it in white chocolate.
Wow.
It's
really good. Really, really good. It's my it's very festive tasting, and people love it.
Orange is just one of those
my,
flavors.
Including my assistant producer, Shia Lynott, huh?
Orange is just one of those flavors that reminds me of Christmas.
Yeah.
I just love orange in cookies this time of year.
Agreed.
You could soak your craisins in it, too.
Any kind of, you could anything like that,
Or chopped apricots with orange would be good, too.
Yeah. Anything. I mean, we're talking about
triple sec, after all. Yeah.
Martha and Bexley, you're on the air. Hi, Martha.
Hi. How are you all?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I have to ask a question about the Leb Kuchen. It's funny. Coincidentally, I plan to make that next week, and I want to give it as a cookie exchange on Thursday. So what do you do if they're fresh? Are they still okay to eat?
Oh, sure.
Or you recommend? Okay. They're just harder.
They're just harder. All the old cookies are hard.
So if you have time, it's so interesting. That's what an interesting insight. But if you have time,
make them ahead.
Make them ahead.
Well, I'm making them. Yeah, I'm making them 2 days ahead. That's not that far ahead. I do want to speak up for my wonderful host in our cookie exchange. She throws out the dog for us. She has special little plastic bags that you could just almost gift, little boxes you fold to put your cookies in.
Wow.
She has her daughter's friends and then the friends that she worked with, so it's multi-generational. And she is as generous as she can be, and it is a fabulous exchange.
That sounds like a great exchange.
Yeah, it sounds like wonderful.
Yeah.
It's such a great tradition for people. I always enjoy them. Martha, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. I maybe have one more call coming in. I'm trying to think of what else I want to talk about, except I just would like to just go through every single recipe with everybody right now. I mean, we don't have time. We only have about a minute left. So, parting thoughts, Terry Moore, parting advice.
Go bake some cookies.
Go bake some cookies. Experiment.
And don't forget your glass of milk. You're never too old for milk and cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. You said off air that someone told you were too old, and that's utterly ridiculous.
Yes. You are never too old for milk and cookies.
And Julie Fulton?
I would say bake with some younger people. Bake with the kids because that's how they learn. That's how I learned.
And yep, me too.
That's what made me love baking. Don't worry about what they look like, and don't worry about, if it's a little messier, the dog gets a few extra licks of sugar from the floor. Just take the little ones and let them get their hands dirty and be involved.
Julie Fulton, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Julie Fulton, among many others at the Columbus Dispatch, put out the annual holiday cookies section, and there will be a demonstration. You can learn more about that at the link on our website at WOSU.org. And Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
You. I have saved all of the Dispatch cookie things from the day
Me too.
One.
Every single one. Thanks to everybody for all of your great calls and emails. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus Christmas tree.